thinking of the rapture in that blessed home on high. When redeemed, oh, again redeemed, how we'll sing that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky. When the redeemed are gathering in, now when the redeemed are gathering in, watch like snow at the cross in. Oh, how we will shout, how we'll sing, now when the redeemed are gathering in. We will sing redemption story with our voices loud and long. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels have to listen, for they cannot sing this song. When the redeemed are gathering in, now when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin. Oh, how we're gonna shout and how we'll sing, now when the redeemed are gathering in. The Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet for when the redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the
The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Sunday night show, End Times, folks. It's the End Times weekly update, and things are, if they're not hot in one area, they're hot in another, or they're hot in a three together or four together. It's amazing what's going on now. Absolutely amazing. So we want to keep you, this is a summation, like on Sunday night, we have a summation of the things that have happened during the week to try and, like I said, keep you on the cutting edge. And I have with me Brother Dave Hauser, and there's Brother Dave. Hello, Dave.
Well, shalom and Maranatha, John. McTernan, who I assume is Irish.
Saint, tomorrow I am going to, you have your choice of being anointed Mick Hauser or O Hauser. Which would you like?
Mick Hauser, I think, would be good.
All right. And tomorrow, by the way, my name is changed. My middle name is Patrick. So tomorrow I'm J. Patty McTernan. How's that?
Wonderful, wonderful. Very good, John. We had some friends over for St. Paddy's Day, even though we are not Catholic, and everybody's celebrating, but we're not, you know, Irish.
Yeah, that's a New York thing in a big way, Dave, you know.
Exactly.
I remember going back to when I was a kid. It was a big day coming for St. Paddy's Day. And in New York, it's called Paddy, St. Paddy's Day. And like here in Texas, they call it St. Patrick's. You'll hear people say St. Patrick's Day. But in New York, it's St. Paddy's Day. And I wish the Irish were not as ugly as they are against Israel, Dave. They are a nasty people now as a whole.
I've seen that. It's very, very sad.
It's horrific. I mean, they are down the line pro-Palestinian.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and there have been polls in Ireland that I remember the outstanding one was a third of the people in Ireland said they wouldn't let a Jew in their house.
Not very good, John. Very terrible.
No, it's all.
They should read what the prophets say. Genesis blessed the Jewish people, not curse them.
Right. Well, I'm glad that you've what St. Paddy's Day is separate from politics in Ireland.
Yes.
Did you ever hear of St. Patrick's breastplate?
No.
I'll dig it up here, and it's quite long, so I'll just read. It's a confession, but it's like a poem, and it's very, very powerful. So while you're reading 1 Corinthians 15:51, I'll have to wait, and a little later I'll get that. Okay, here we go.
Sure.
1 Corinthians 15:51.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, that shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen. Okay, I like the way it ends. Therefore, my beloved, because this is about the rapture. It's about God, Christ coming in the twinkling of an eye. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, this section of scriptures is about the Lord coming for us. So there should be an excitement in us about the Lord coming for us. And that's this section of scripture ends with this exhortation. Amen, Brother Dave?
Amen.
All right. Now, connected with the looking for Christ coming at the rapture, being caught up together. Well, in fact, let me go back on this. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now that I have it in red, shall be caught up together. That's all like one word. It's a phrase. And from that is where we get the rapture, to be caught up, raptured. So although the word rapture technically isn't in the scriptures like that, shall be caught up together is. And it's been shortened to rapture. So, Dave, do you like that? Shall be caught up together?
Looking forward to it, John.
All right. I knew you'd have a good answer. I could trust you.
Amen.
All right. So another way of looking at the rapture is the blessed hope found in Titus chapter 2. Verse 13, and actually it's part of a phrase, not a phrase, but it's a part of scriptures that are tied together. It starts at verse 11, 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, comma. So verse 12 is directly associated with verse 11, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Semicolon. Verse 13 is directly connected. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Semicolon. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a special people, zealous of good works, period. But it doesn't end there, because the next verse, 15, is directly connected. These things, that's verses 2:11 through 14, speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So that that's all in context here. It's all connected. So if you want to live ungodly, or denying ungodliness, that should be the way to put it, and worldly lust, you want to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What's that connected with? Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. How do you like that connection, Dave?
Quite a direct connection.
Absolutely direct. Because the living with the blessed hope keeps our eyes focused on heaven, Dave. And that's where great power comes from, when we're not grounded in this world. When our heart and our mind is focused in heaven, that's when worldly lusts and denying any ungodliness will fall off us. And when we stay focused on the blessed hope, righteousness and godliness takes over our life. So a direct part of discipleship, a direct part of, well, denying ungodliness and worldly lust is looking for Christ's coming, Dave. He's the groom.
Amen.
And we're the bride. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Now, Dave, I had quite a weekend that I want to share with everybody. So hang on here for a second, please. Okay. And Friday, it started that I first preached in Kenya with Pastor Zephaniah in Ukuru Kayaba, the slum. It didn't go good. There were technical problems. The sound was bad. The camera, they were holding the camera, and it was shaking, the image. But anyways, I got to preach on the Blessed Hope, and I didn't get a chance to talk to Pastor Zephaniah about it. But immediately when I finished, I went to Pakistan, and I spoke in Pakistan in Islamabad, where I had been like the week before. So we had 200 come to the Lord in Islamabad, and numerous people with their hearts were healed. Oh. Now, this is heavy-duty stuff, folks, what I'm about to share. But there were about a half a dozen women that came to Pastor Jamil, and they shared with him that they had just made a decision for Christ, and they had been forced into prostitution by Muslim men, and that they were going to fight it, and they were no longer going to go along with it, no matter what the cost. So that was real heavy, Dave. And that was really heavy.
Yeah, wow.
But they said, because I was preaching on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and they said that they confessed Christ, and they felt a great power. They felt great power come to them. So in a group like that, Dave, you never know who's there. You know what I mean?
Right, sure.
Yeah. But that turned out to be real good. Jamil was all excited, and there were pastors, several pastors that came to the second meeting that had been at the first meeting. And they absolutely loved both meetings, and they want to pick up and preach this message. The actual message, it's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but the actual message is from powerless disciple Peter to powerful apostle Peter. That's the message. And they were saying how they want this to spread through all their churches. In fact, they said they wanted it to spread all through Pakistan. So it was really exciting. And they came to him in addition to the request for brochures a week ago, Dave. They asked for 50,000.
Wow.
So we've had a request now for 150,000 brochures in Pakistan. In two weeks. So that's exciting. Now, hold on here, Dave, for a second, please.
John, give me 1 second. Hold 1 second.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm waiting for Dave to come back, and then we're going to pick up. But isn't that exciting, that testimony there of what happened?
It sure is, Chaplain.
Yeah, I want to get a hold of Jamil as soon as I can, Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday morning, for him to give a direct update on what happened. But he did tell me about the women and how mistreated they were. But they said when they confessed Christ, this great power came in them.
Mm.
So, Dave, are you back? All right. Well, I'm going to go over into, we'll start on with Israel. So, let me see here. Well, just as I thought, I'm looking through everything I have posted on my blog, and it's been relatively quiet in Israel. It's been like that for a couple of weeks now. But just yesterday, the United States, attacked the Houthis there in Yemen. And what happened is Yemen is threatening. Well, first of all, they attacked our ships many times, and they've attacked shipping. So, you know, technically we're at war with them. I mean, they attacked us. They attacked our warships, as a matter of fact. So, they have been threatening Israel, and they've been threatening to, you know, sink the ships there in the Red Sea and off the coast of Yemen. So yesterday, Trump, the Navy there, the Harry Truman, the aircraft carrier Harry Truman, they launched massive attacks against the Houthis. So the Houthis responded and fired 18 ballistic missiles. I don't know how many cruise missiles, and at least one drone they fired at the aircraft carrier. It's the name of the aircraft carrier is the Harry Truman, USS Harry Truman. So it was, you know, you get 18 ballistic missiles fired. That's a major engagement, folks. I mean, the Houthis are literally firing at our warships at an intense rate. I mean, these ballistic missiles pack a punch, folks, if they hit. I mean, this is going back to World War II. It, you know, you think, well, the Houthis, this terrorist group from Yemen, but they've got technological missiles. They have ballistic missiles, which are like long range. And then they have the cruise missiles that lay low to the ground. So these cruise missiles would be just above sea level there. And they're slower than the ballistic missile, but they can be very hard to hit. And they're very maneuverable. And they pack a punch, the cruise missiles. They've got, you know, a large payload. All of these have large payloads in them. So if anyone gets through, they just need one to get through and hit the aircraft carrier. I don't think they're going to sink it, but they can do some severe damage. Several of them getting through can do a lot of, I mean, big time damage. So this is like a serious engagement. I mean, the Houthis, and they've got these missiles from Iran. So it was a regular type of war engagement yesterday, or I guess early this morning, between the U.S. Navy and the Houthi terrorists. So I just want to bring that to your attention, that it's serious. They have serious weapons, the Houthis, which they have gotten from Iran. So I wanted to share with you, read some of the articles Hang on here. All right, here's the title. We Will Not Be Nice About It. Pete Hegseth. Now, he is the Secretary of Defense. Says, U.S. unrelenting attacks on Houthis are not a one-night thing. Today, now this is President Trump. Today I have, quote, I have ordered the U.S. military to launch decisive and powerful military action against the Houthi terrorists in Yemen. They have waged an unrelenting campaign of piracy, violence, and terrorism against America and other ships, aircraft, and drones. Joe Biden's response was pathetically weak. So the unrestrained Houthis just kept going. It has been over a year since a U.S.-flagged commercial ship safely sailed through the Suez Canal, the Red Sea, or the Gulf of Aden. The last American warship to go through the Red Sea 4 months ago was attacked by Houthis over a dozen times. Funded by Iran, the Houthi thugs have fired missiles at U.S. aircraft and targeted our troops and allies. These relentless assaults have cost the U.S. and the world economy many billions of dollars, while at the same time putting innocent lives at risk. Dave, are you there by any chance?
I just got back, John, yes.
Okay, are you following me, what I was discussing?
100%, John. That was going to be the first thing we would be talking about, which is good.
All right. So I just really started to talk about the Houthis and all. So bring us up to date with what you have.
Sure, John. President Trump also is connecting the Houthis with Iran because they're an Iranian proxy. And they've been funded and armed by the Iranians. And also, to add to it, President Trump had sent a letter to Ayatollah Khomeini, the head religious leader in Iran, about opening the door to negotiate about their nuclear program to prevent them from getting a nuclear weapon. And the Ayatollah rejected it. And President Trump said, well, you have a choice. We could either negotiate or we could escalate to military option. And we talk about it every week. It looks like it's going to be on the calendar, John. And whether it's just Israel or just the United States or Israel and the United States, that's coming very soon, John. And when President Trump made the comment that the Biden administration was pathetic, he's being incredibly diplomatic. To say the former administration allowed the Houthis to disrupt global maritime trade, and the Egyptians basically get a lot of revenue to support their country from, you know, like going through the Suez Canal. They charge people to do that. To let them do this for over a year, like I said, the president was being very, very diplomatic, John. So it's escalating as we speak.
Yeah, it is. It is. And Iran is refused to acknowledge any connection with the Houthis. They said they're not involved in this. They're not involved in this. So this is, like, I think a first step, Dave. This is a first step heading towards Iran, because this has to go to Iran. The Iranians are like on the 2 yard line with 15 seconds left in the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The ball's on the 2 yard line. They're almost into the end zone. And no matter what Iran says, they're basically defenseless in this, because Israel has proved that. So if Iran does fire any of their missiles, because the U.S. has several bases there in Iraq and Saudi Arabia. I don't know about Saudi Arabia, but Persian countries there, Persian Gulf countries. Iran might be like obliterated, Dave. And we know from Ezekiel 38 that Iran is not really engaged in war, not the first war, but the second one, Dave, the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war. They are. That's Persia. It's clearly mentioned. But this first war that the prophets write about, Iran is not a big player in it. And you could look at Elam. Elam is the western part of Iran, modern Iran. That is destroyed in battle. So this attack coming up, the heavy concentration of Iran's military is in Elam, Dave. Now, the nuclear part is spread further east into the mountains, and that would take a lot of digging out to blow that up. And Israel does not have the heavy bombers that can bring a 30,000-pound bomb in to blow, huge holes in the ground. And I guess they would burrow their way down to where the nuclear site is. So it looks like to take out Iran's nuclear capability, it's going to take the United States to do it. Israel can't do it. It just doesn't have the weapons to get into those mountains. But Iran's, the big chunk of its military is along the Persian Gulf. So I have a feeling that I don't give it much time now. We're right on the cusp of this attack on Iran. Comments, Dave?
Exactly what you said, John. And the prophets are very clear about what's going to be happening. And you mentioned the Persian Gulf. There's a possibility that Iran could retaliate by shutting down the Strait of Hormuz, which would be, cataclysmic for the global economy. So, and it looks like it's right around the corner. President Trump doesn't bluff.
No.
He basically says no.
No, he
doesn't bluff.
No, he really, him and Putin. Putin's not a real bluffer either, Dave. You're right. Trump doesn't bluff. Well, this article is so good, I want to read more of it. The title is "We Will Not Be Nice About It." Pete Hegseth says U.S. unrelenting attacks on Houthis are not a one-night thing. So there's a combination of quotes from him and from President Trump. So let me see. The Houthi attack, this is Trump, on American vessels will not be tolerated. We use overwhelming lethal force until we have achieved our objective. The Houthis have choked off shipping, one of the most important waterways of the world, grinding vast swaths of global commerce to a halt and attacking the core principle of freedom of navigation upon which international trade and commerce depend. Our brave warfighters are right now carrying out lethal aerial attacks on the terrorist bases, leaders, and missile defenses to protect American shipping, air, and naval assets and to restore navigational freedom. No terrorist force will stop American commercial and naval vessels from freely sailing the waterways of the world. To all Houthi terrorists, this is in big letters. Your time is up and your attacks must stop. Starting today, if they don't, hell will rain down upon you like nothing you have ever seen before. To Iran, stop support of the Houthi terrorists must end immediately. Do not threaten the American people, their president, who has received one of the highest mandates in presidential history, or worldwide shipping lanes. If you do, beware, because America will hold you fully accountable, and the end won't be nice about it. So there you go. And Hegseth said, you're not facing Joe Biden now. Peace through strength is back. The strikes won't stop until the Houthis start attacking our shipping and drones. campaign will be relentless. So, Dave, I mean, if the Hootsies don't give up, I could see it going on for a while and then just morphing right into Iran. What do you think?
Exactly what you said, John. I was watching I-24 News, and they interviewed somebody from Yemen, one of the Houthis, and they basically said, to be blunt about it, we don't care if they destroy the whole country. We're not going to stop. We're supporting the Palestinians in Gaza. You know, they're pedal to the metal. It's a religious thing, and they want to become martyrs.
Well, Dave, we've got two things going on. They want to become martyrs, and we want to make them martyrs. So it's a very agreeable situation, isn't it?
That's what it looks like, yeah.
The reports were coming out of Yemen that the attack was so powerful, it felt like an earthquake. The city was shaking there. It was like an earthquake. All right. There's more, folks. A lot of information. It's very interesting information about this attack on the Houthis, what Trump is saying, what the U.S. military is saying. And basically, they're telling them, you know, we're not Joe Biden and we're not playing games. So we're going to continue until you're obliterated. If you don't stop, if you stop, okay. If you don't, we'll obliterate you. It's pretty pointed, Dave.
Very, very clear.
And the Muslims respect that. They do. When they realize they're going to be obliterated, that means that, you know, Allah is not with them, and that it is time to maybe cut a deal. If they think they can get away with a ceasefire and not be destroyed, well, Allah is with them. So if they say that we will not fire our missiles and that at your ships anymore, that's different than, well, let's have a ceasefire and talk it over. So if Trump was to succumb to that, that's a signal to the Muslims that Allah is, it's a victory because they're not being exterminated. That's the way they think. So right now with Israel and what's going on with Hamas, that's a sign of victory that the Jews have not destroyed them. The Zionists, as they call them, have not destroyed them. That means that Allah is allowing them to fight another day. All right. Now, Dave, when Syria fell, when Assad left Syria and ended up, I mean, what was that, a week, Dave? The terrorists or the rebels, they were driving pickup trucks down the main road into Damascus, and the Syrian government surrendered, and Assad ended up in Moscow. Do you remember those pictures?
All we saw was pickup trucks.
Yeah. And they'd have like a machine gun mounted on the back of the truck, and they'd have 15 or 20 people hanging all over the truck. And that was their army coming down from the north into Damascus. But I said then that this guy here, his name is their organization and its initials, I should write down to remember, H something T. I don't have the initials. I have to write that down to remember. Anyways, his name is Al Jolini. So here's the title. Here's the I said that all this stuff about he was talking about being nice and having open government for the Christians and the Druze, and I don't know if he mentioned the Alawites. I said it's all nonsense. That may last for a while as a smokescreen till they get established. But this guy's a terrorist, and they will say anything to get into power, and then they'll turn it on once they're in power. So here's the article. Syrian terrorists smoke and burn Alawites out of the forest as President Al-Julini imposes Islamic constitution and Sheira Law. So how long, Dave, ago did I say that? Can you remember? I don't.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
A couple months?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so here it is, right now. They're going to have an Islamic constitution and Sheira Law. I knew it. It happened about the time, I gave it a little bit of time till he consolidated power. So here it is, and this is a direct attack now on Israel. There's no doubt when they get their act together here in Syria that they're going to turn on Israel one way or another. And I could see them hooking up with Turkey now. I don't think they'd like Turkey because Turkey could move into Syria and never move out. You know what I mean, Dave?
Exactly.
Because Erdogan wants to reinstitute the Ottoman Empire. And he wants Jerusalem. He wants to crush Israel and wants Jerusalem in the worst way. So right now, they've made the turn. They're going to apply Sheira Law, which means the infidels have no rights. And they can do anything they want to the infidels. Now, do you remember what the Alawites are?
It's a different sect, they think they're heretics, so they're not happy with them. It's a different brand of Islam.
Yeah, it's a spinoff from Shiite Islam. Not Sunni, but Shiite. So Assad is close to Iran, because Iran is the home of the Shiites. The exact difference between the Alawites and the Shiites, I don't know. And I don't care. But there is like we have branches or spinoffs from Christianity that we view as like a cult. Well, that's the way the Alawites are looked at, as a cult. However, although they're a minority in Syria, they held power for a long time. You had Assad's father, I can't think of his first name. Bashar is the one in power now.
Right.
No, his father.
Oh, right.
I can't think of his first name. But anyways, they severely persecuted the Sunnis in Syria. In fact, the old man Assad, I think he exterminated like a city of 10 or 20,000 people. It's nothing for them. That's what Saddam Hussein did. He exterminated chemical warfare. They killed like 30 or 40,000 opposition there in cities. So for these tyrants, killing like that is no big deal. But anyways, the Sunnis are in power now. And I knew it would be just a matter of time before revenge. So that revenge has started, and they were in the last week there were massive killings. Apparently, and I've heard up to the count was like 17,000 were killed. Most of them were Alawites, and a couple thousand perhaps Christians were killed, and Druze. But right now it's revenge, and I saw pictures where bodies were laying all over the place. And just like every other scene there with the Muslims, one Muslim guy was walking by and he was looking at all the dead ones there around him. And what I heard was Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. So now, today, the Sunnis there set an area on fire in Syria, apparently burned a large number of Alawites. So, Dave, it's going to take time for them to get organized and centralized, but they are going to be against Israel. No doubt. No doubt. They'll be exactly like Hamas. Now, because Hamas is Sunnis, the Hezbollah are Shiites. So I don't see these Al-Jolini there hooking up with Hezbollah. Because Hezbollah were part of killing the Sunnis. The Hezbollah were the strong arm for Assad. So it's complicated, Dave. And things can change next week. But Syria is one complicated mess. However, sooner or later, this Al-Jolini is going to centralize all the power under him and the Sharia law. And that would straighten things out, Dave. It'll be easy to follow what's going on in Syria then. Any comments?
Well, John, I don't know if you heard, but there's some breaking news that the International Criminal Court, the one that was basically indicting Israel for committing genocide against the Palestinians in Gaza, and basically said that Netanyahu and one of the military leaders should be arrested. I don't know if you heard about it, but that organization just launched an intensive investigation against the new leader in Syria, and basically going to document that his organization is committing genocide in Syria. I don't know if you heard about that.
No, I haven't. No.
No, you know why? Because that was a joke.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm kidding.
I'm not shocked.
I was just kidding, John. The International Criminal Court is not investigating them, even though it's very obvious what's happening, because they're more concerned about persecuting the Jews in Israel.
Well, Dave, I got some sad news for you. I don't think anybody bit on your joke there.
No, I don't think so.
No.
It wasn't funny.
No. That wasn't even believable.
Well, that's the whole point, John. That's the whole point.
All right. Well, you got to try better, Dave. Seriously. That was
all right.
Now, the reason is, I'll read now, which thwarts what your attempted joke. So this is a quote from the article, Syrian Terrorists Smoke and Burn Alawites, and is here. Al-Jolini's foreign minister, Assad Hassan al-Shabani, is expected in Brussels Monday at a donor conference to rake in more money for the brutal regime. The EU has already promised $235 million to Syria for 2025, plus $50 million from Germany, $65 million from Switzerland, and $61 million from the UK. The EU conference, Standing with Syria, Meeting the Needs for a Successful Transition, called the fall of Assad's regime a historical moment and an opportunity for the Syrian people to decide the future of their country. Well, apparently they already did, and they want an Islamic constitution with Sharia law, Dave. So there you go.
Mind-numbing, John, mind-numbing. Now, did they call the conference before the genocide was committed, you know, the massacres?
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea. The Europeans, the liberal mind like Biden here and them, these Islamic terrorists can play them like a fiddle. I mean, yes, we're all for peace. Yes, we're all for democracy. And they're going to give them like they're going to give them $500 million. And they were terrorists. And the day they're flying there for tomorrow, Syria has been imposed with an Islamic constitution and Sharia law. How's that thing?
Doesn't make much sense that they're participating in supporting that.
Well, they're so dumb, Dave. The Europeans, the liberal mind is so dumb. They are dumb. They really are. Okay, in the remaining time here, let's see what else we have. Iran rushing to build nuclear bomb. West, act now. It's just wake up. This is a good article. It's a wake up call. Who moved, which we finally, Dave, I mean, there's light at the end of the tunnel in this, and I don't know how long the tunnel is, but with the fact the United States has attacked the Houthis, the attack on Iran has to be real close there. Yeah, Dave, you there?
Yeah, definitely. I would definitely think so, John. Like we mentioned before, President Trump does not bluff. He gave the Iranian leader a nice letter and said, hey, we're willing to negotiate about your nuclear program. He automatically rejected it. So President Trump gave the option to negotiate or future U.S. military action. And like you had mentioned, John, that Israel doesn't have the capacity. I think they call it MOB, mother of all bombs, those 30,000-pound bombs. They don't have them.
Right.
So it looks like we'll have to do something.
Yeah,
and,
you need the big heavy bombers, Dave, to carry a weapon like
that. Right, exactly. And I think it was about a week or so ago, Israel and the United States had a joint aerial military exercise. They had videos of it where Israel, I guess, was flying some smaller planes, and they had some B-52s. So they're not bluffing. And Netanyahu basically made it very clear through the years. He was at the United Nations a long time ago, drawing diagrams of Iran's nuclear program, saying, we're not going to let this happen. To me, it's shocking that they've waited this long. It's not like Iran's going to change their minds. That means they would have to change their theology, which is not going to happen.
Right. They're locked in to the Quran and to Islam and all of that. So now here's an interesting article. There's a legal battle going on over a man by the name of Mahmoud Khalil. And he was arrested by Homeland Security for terrorist activity at Columbia University against the Jews and against Israel. And he belongs to a group called CUAD. And I don't know what CUAD stands for, but anyways, it is hardcore folks, American and Israel hating. So this is from the article. Now this guy here, Mahmoud, is one of the leaders of CUAD. Yet the revolutionary ideology that motivates CUAD seeks more than these immediate objectives in the same way that new demands have arisen by activist groups once their calls for a ceasefire were met. The group sees the United States as an empire with their fight within the belly of the beast, inextricably connected to the fight of Hamas and other terrorist organizations in the Middle East. CUAD, like most anti-Israeli organizations, sees the entirety of Israel as an illegitimate project, not limiting their designs to the Green Line. In an October Instagram post, it described 76 years of the Nakba, that is the existence of Israel, and Israel's state illegitimacy, further explaining in an October 17th Substack article commemorating the October 7th massacre that it would not stop demonstrating until Zionism ends. Colonial projects all die, and Zionism will not be saved. So this is a hardcore, this stuff here at Columbia University is hardcore, Dave. And this guy here was arrested. Some judge with the ACLU have blocked him from being deported. I don't know where they'll send him. I guess they'll send him to Gaza. But he's married to an American wife who's 8 months pregnant, and they're all crying because she's 8 months pregnant and the baby's due, and this guy is being deported. So, Dave, I have no sympathy whatsoever. I mean, she can go with him. Go with him. You two hate America so much, and you can go over there and, you know, sign up and fight Israel and see how you do with the dreaded Zionists. So there we are, Dave. And Columbia University was fined $400 million by the Trump administration for not protecting Jewish students and not taking action. And just last week, I don't know how many were involved, but a series of students who had been protesting and were attacking Jewish students and all, their degrees were, some of them had graduated, their degrees were taken away from them. Others were dismissed from school, and others, I think, were given to Homeland Security. So Homeland Security yesterday arrested a second student that was connected with this Mahmoud guy. And then a third one fled America and went to Canada. She saw that she was going to be arrested. So there's some portal that you could go through there as an illegal alien here, and you could declare you're an illegal alien, but you're going to Canada. So she did. So things are starting to move in a very positive way, Dave.
Yeah, John, I saw Mark Rubio, I think he's the new Secretary of State, talk about this particular guy that's going to be deported. And he basically said, if we knew what you were going to do to organize these protests to take over buildings and disrupt the entire college situation and threaten Jewish people, we would not have let you in. So don't be surprised that we want you to leave, you know? So it's a good thing, John. It's insane that they let all this happen last year. Insane.
It's amazing what the Biden administration let happen, Dave. It's amazing.
Very sad, John. Yeah, very sad. And it was, you know, on global television, you know, and they were basically wearing Hamas costumes. They're terrorists. So you're promoting terrorism.
Right. Right. Exactly. Here's the headline. Second anti-Israeli Columbia protester. Look, it's L-E-Q-A-A. I don't know how to pronounce that. Lequa Cordia, arrested by Homeland Security for immigration violations as third self deports and flees to Canada. So, Dave, look, this is progress. I mean, compared to what Biden was doing, this is real, real progress for the United States clearing out this rat's nest. Now, what happened, we're going to switch over here. I don't know who was doing this, but the federal government has 60 colleges. And I got the article here. Let me get the article. Okay, here it is. Universities facing impossible situation as Trump administration cracks down on DEI. Now, the headline says DEI, but when you read it, it also is anti-Semitism, attacking the Jews on campus. So there's a total of 60 universities that are currently under investigation for anti-Semitic discrimination and harassment. How's that, Dave? I mean, that's real progress.
100%. Absolutely.
Yeah, so I'll just finish with this article here. This is a quote. Administrators, professors, and prospective students at major universities across the country are expressing concerns about the future of higher education as the Trump administration restricts funding for DEI and investigates schools for charges of anti-Semitism. school officials are in an impossible situation with facing the unknown as to what may happen down the road. Ohio University Alumni Associate Board member Kim Barlag told the Wall Street Journal, Trump's Department of Education announced Monday that 60 universities are currently under investigation for anti-Semitic discrimination and harassment. Fox News reported this week the change comes as Trump administration has also moved to target DEI in university system and in the federal government. Now, here's the thing, Dave. They're saying impossible situation. There is no impossible situation. This is all made up. Don't allow attack on Jews in your campus. How hard is that, Dave?
Well, for them, it's very hard because a lot of them are very pro-Palestinian. And what's interesting, this may be slightly understandable if October 7th didn't happen. But viewing what happened on October 7th, to be pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian, is rather satanic.
Right, right. But Dave, they're talking about impossible situation. So it's impossible for a school administration to bring the anti-Semitism under control on the campus? And DEI, how hard is it? Just eliminate DEI and your college will function normally. They don't want to give it up, Dave. They don't want to. There's 60 universities have been identified now. Now, here's how this ends. Secretary of Education Linda McMahon has defended her agency's investigation into 60 universities for anti-Semitic discrimination and harassment. U.S. colleges and universities benefit from enormous public investments funded by U.S. taxpayers, she said in a statement. That support is a privilege. Yes, it is. And it's contingent on scrupulous adherence to federal anti-discrimination laws. That's both for against the Jews and against DEI, against discrimination. DEI discriminates against whites, especially white males. So look how tough it is, Dave. These colleges are crying out loud. We don't know what to do because we might have to stop the attack on the Jews. This is incredible, Dave. Dave, are you there?
Absolutely, John. Very, very sad, John. And they should adhere to the law to promote anti-Semitism. You know, why don't you just, you know, like join the Nazi party? You know, it's a sign of the times, John. When I talk to people and give them my testimony, I say one of the signs you're going to see is the entire planet ganging up on Israel over a global unsolvable problem over Jerusalem, Judea, the West Bank, the Temple Mount. The whole planet's ganging up in Israel. And, John, this is just the tip of the iceberg. It's going to be global, and Israel is going to be completely isolated. It's terrible.
But what's wonderful right now, Dave, is God has worked it out, at least now in the short run. We know what the long run is, according to the prophetic word of God. But in the short run, Trump's elected. He's standing with Israel, and he's got the federal government standing with Israel, especially here on the college campuses. And a very significant large percent of the American population is behind him and supports Israel, Dave. I think it's
It's
about 70% of America, you know, was a big time supporter. No other by far and away, no other nation in the world supports Israel like we do. Surprisingly, though, Brazil has been really, I don't know about the government, but the people in Brazil, significant numbers support Israel also. So there we go. There we go, Dave. This time next week, we might be having a lot to say about Iran. Yeah, Dave.
You never know, John. Like I said, Trump does not bluff.
Right. Right. He doesn't bluff. And that attack on the Houthis is a direct warning to Iran. And Iran was quick to say they don't have any connection with the Houthis now. Yet they supplied him with all those missiles and all sorts of other weapons and all. So there we go, Dave. But, yeah, it's got to be – you've been saying for I don't know how many years, but the day has come, Dave.
Right around the corner.
All right. What type of update do you have for us, Dave?
Well, John, some good news, okay? The shipping department was, as usual, completely out of funds. And I want to thank Dennis and his wife sent funds. We're going to be open this week. Last week, we showed a nice picture from Henry Kaduza in Malawi. We haven't, you know, talked to him in a while. And we sent him a package, and things went really good. He sent us a picture. So in my car, I have a box with about 200 items. I want to send out tomorrow to Henry Kaduza. And very unusual, John, for years, we were just shipping just specifically to Kenya. I'll be conservative. We were working with about 50 pastors just in Kenya. And in the last couple of weeks, say 2 or 3 weeks, we sent, these are very small packages, one to Kenya, Tanzania, Zambia, Sudan, and Malawi. Very unusual that all of a sudden we're getting interest in other parts of Africa, which is a real blessing. So I want to thank Dennis and his wife. The shipping department is now open this week. And we just need help all the time, John, for funds for shipping, printing, et cetera. Now, John, were we able to print any Jerusalem tracts lately or not really?
No, Dave, no.
No, okay.
I just have a very small quantity, probably maybe 100.
Right. Right. All right. So that's the story, John. So is Brother Greg there?
I don't know. I haven't been looking over at the Uber conference. And Brother Greg is here. Hello, Brother Greg.
Well, hello.
Hello, Brother Greg.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening tonight, guys. God bless.
All right. God bless.
God bless.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Brother Greg?
I was going to say that it was like amazing that you guys can put all that together, and it's very illuminating.
Yeah. I mean, this is the big things going on, Brother Greg, continually now.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on, folks. Hold on. Let me get that brochure. Brother Dave forgot. Anyone that's interested in a prophecy packet, you can write to Dave at Daystar Windows 1, and I have it up on the screen here. Daystar Windows 1 at optimum.net. And make sure to put your name and your mailing address, and he'll send you one out. And if you want the brochures that I have, particularly the Brokenhearted and the one about Jerusalem, I'll show you the one about Jerusalem. Here's the one about Jerusalem. And then the Brokenhearted is right below it. Jesus Christ came to heal the brokenhearted. You can email me at mct911@aol.com. And of course you put your name and mailing address, and I'll send you a sample of five. So you can either get the bigger one with the last trumpet from Dave, and then there's his email, or you can get the brochures from me, and that's mct911@aol.com. All right. So what did you pick up, Greg, in the first hour?
Well, it was you really had it together, and it was really easy to listen to.
Good. Good. Yeah, I'm very I watch very closely certain news sites that are dynamite, and I pick up these real good items and then share them with you. So you don't have to spend a lot of time, Dave. Greg, I do all the time there researching and posting. all you got to do is read it. And on Sunday night, I kind of read it to you. I'll end up reading, if it's really good, I'll end up reading it to you. So, this is a big step now against the Houthis. And what are they going to do? What are they going to do? And what's Iran going to do? What's Israel going to do with Iran? So don't be surprised, folks. You go to sleep, you wake up, and Iran is being heavily destroyed. All right, Greg, anything that you want to share?
I really was interested in the Houthi thing and all the other things that go along with it. And it doesn't really seem like they're going to get anything off of it, but who knows?
Yeah.
Because right now they're trying to put all the sea boats and all the ones that are belonging to us on those short things that are going up almost to the Gaza Strip. Now, eventually, I think that'll be like a waterway that'll go through there, because I've heard that before a couple times, and better than the Suez Canal.
Yeah, well, I can't see that, Greg, until the millennial reign. there isn't time to build that. But what I want to do is, we're talking about the Suez Canal. I want to talk about the Panama Canal. And I want to touch upon a couple things that are not dealing with the Middle East, but they're connected with the military and things like that. So right now, just today, I believe, maybe it was yesterday, here's the headline, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth requests military options for unfettered Panama Canal access. So what has happened is under President Carter, we made a treaty with Panama and turned over the control of the Panama Canal to Panama, because it was built in the early 1900s by the United States and had been under our control since then. In that treaty, only Panama could control the canal, and there was no outside interest allowed and no foreign military allowed. Well, Panama has broken that, and they've allowed the Chinese to come in.
Yep.
So Trump has told Panama, now, look, basically, you're going to do it, hand it back to us in a very nice way. We're going to come and take it. So, Hegseth, it's called for plans. Now, when they do this out in the open, normally it's done secretly. But here, it's out in the open, and this is like a major threat to Panama. Look, we are planning to come now, one way or another, the canal's coming back to us. So how are you going to do this? You're going to do it the easy way or the hard way? But let me just read the article, because it's interesting. NBC News reported that U.S. Southern Command presented draft strategies to Hegseth this week, and that potential strategies include simply ensuring that U.S. ships have safe passage through the canal, to restoring total U.S. ownership and operation of it. Other options reportedly under consideration include using the U.S. military to secure existing ports in Panama, build new ports in Panama, or use the Army Corps of Engineers to operate the canal's locks. Trump's goal is to take control of the 50-mile canal and counter China's growing influence over the area, out of concern, China could shut down the canal to American shipping and the U.S. military in event of a conflict. So that's basically what it is. And Secretary of State Rubio was there in February and warned that there has to be a new infrastructure agreement because of what Panama has done with China. So there it is, folks. This is coming to a head now, the Panama Canal. Trump's Pentagon explains transgenderism is incompatible with military mission. The medical, surgical, and mental health constraints on individuals who have a current diagnosis or history or exhibit symptoms consistent with gender dysphoria are incompatible with high mental and physical standards necessary for military service. So the U.S. military now is in the process of removing transgenders out of the military. They're saying their mental state is incompatible with the military. Yeah. This is all wonderful, Greg. I'm waking up every morning now, and because I want to spend time in getting in what's happening with this Venezuelan terrorist group and the Trump and the federal courts. Now, Tulsi Gabbard revoked security clearances for big name Democrats. Top Democrats, including some prominent members of Joe Biden's administration, are now without security clearances after they were revoked Monday by Tulsi Gabbard. Gabbard cited a directive on the matter from Trump, who became a victim of lawfare against him over the past 4 years by some names on the list, including Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, New York Attorney General Letina James. Gabbard states, the directive, I have revoked security clearances and barred access to classified information from Anthony Blinken, Jack Sullivan, Lisa Monaco, and it lists names that other names. Andrew Weissman. Yeah, that's a henchman. Along with the 51 signers of the Hunter Biden disinformation letter. So, Greg, every day we're starting to see action by the Trump administration to take care of these horrible, horrible people that we're that were ruling over us. Now, a couple other articles I want to share with you. So this one here says EU leadership is now a global threat. The EU elites, as well as its population, understands that escaping American control is impossible. Many secretly wish it were otherwise. However, Donald Trump's new approach to transatlantic relations is like to be far harsher than anything seen before. Yet European elites cling to the hope that within a few years, the Democrats will return to power and restore the status quo. You see, the European Union could really operate with like a Democrat, liberal, disgusting government here in America. It was the tail wagging the dog, but they can't do it now. Trump's calling the shots. Greg, 70% of America provides for 70% of NATO. 70%. And when you stop and think of it, why are we paying to defend Europe? Why is 70% of NATO's army the American army? I mean, And the Europeans aren't paying their share.
Yeah.
So they've taken advantage of us, and Trump says no more. You want war against the Ukraine. Now, Greg, it's been very hard through the years following what's going on in Syria, because there was just so many groups, and one week the one group was against the other, the next week they were with each other, and the week after they were fighting each other. I'm starting to see this in Europe. I'm having a hard time following what's going on, because Macron and the British, they're talking about sending their army into the Ukraine to help defend the Ukraine against Russia. I mean, Ukraine is not a part of NATO. If they send their army there, we have no obligation to defend them. So other countries, Germany wants to do the same thing, but Germany's imploding. I don't even know if Germany's going to have a nation in a couple months. The Germans don't have an army. They don't. The German army is the American army in Germany. The British are talking about raising all these funds to build their military to fight Russia. It's like bizarre. And then the Hungarians are with us, and the Romanian people are with us, but the Romanian government is under the control of the European Union, who won't allow the Romanians to elect the government they want. It's chaos in Europe. It's actually chaos. The Italians are with us. So Germany, Europe is starting to break up, Craig. It's literally political chaos. And then Trump has told the Europeans, no more of these tariffs that you have against us. So we want even out tariffs. It's the same with the Canadians. The Canadians get like $270 billion from us through the tariff structure. And Trump says no more. We're not carrying you anymore to the Canadians. He's telling the Europeans the same thing. And they're losing their minds. How dare you put a tariff on us? Well, you've got a huge tariff on us. We can't sell our cars in Europe, but because you got high tariffs, but they're very low tariffs, if any, of your cars in America. So the whole thing's unraveling because Trump says no more of what you're doing to us. We're not the world's military policemen. You're going to pay for like NATO, or you're not going to have a NATO. You've got to defend yourself. Greg, this is like insanity with these people. They have lost their minds. They took us for granted. They took advantage of us for so long now that when Trump exposes this, they hate him. And America is so evil and all this, that, and the other thing because we're making them stand on their own two legs.
Yeah.
Brother, Greg, you should try following this as I'm watching Europe unfold. At one point, they acknowledge that they can't defend themselves and they can't defeat Russia without the United States. And then the next day, the French are saying, we're going to send our army in to help the Ukrainians. And the British are saying, we're with you. And the Germans are saying this, that. And they don't really have an army to do it. It's our army that could take on the Russians, not the French, not the British, not the Germans. So they're insane, Greg. They seriously, the Europeans have lost their minds.
Yeah, Trump has them all figured out, though.
Oh, yeah, he really does, Greg.
So that Canadian thing may not last too long, but until they wise up.
Greg, I didn't know anything really about economics between Canada and the United States. And I didn't really follow a little bit the political situation in Canada. But it's wild. I mean, yeah,
that was a long time ago when you were there.
Yeah,
you were preaching there.
Yeah, that was about 20 years ago. I was in.
Yeah,
I mentioned the name of the city. I just can't think of it now. Kirchstedt or something? No, but Canada's in real serious trouble. I mean, big time trouble. I mean, Quebec is a different country than the rest of Canada. You know, and the central states in Canada are basically conservative and would fit here in America really well. Ontario, probably not, and definitely British Columbia there and Vancouver, that's really leftist like San Francisco. So Canada is really fractured there. And they've ruined their economy, as far as I understand this. Trudeau, years of Trudeau and all, it's like having Biden. I mean, could we have gone 4 more years with Biden? No, he would have ruined, just talking about the economy, he would have ruined it. Well, that's what's happened to Canada. So Canada, as I understand it, is economically and socially in big trouble, Greg. Big trouble. So
yeah, you can look when you're driving through. I only went into Canada one time, and it gave me the heebie-jeebies, and I went, turned around. I had a bunch of people with me in a car that we were thinking about, you know, and so we were in that, but it made us feel really weird. It was just a real ugly kind of thing. They had a big old thing on the side with all these different things, and it was like a showboat thing. And then it's still there today.
You know, I've had only good interaction with Canadians. I know a lot of Canadians in the winter come down to Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Come down there. But I hope things work out with Canada, but I'm really concerned when, the economy is really bad, Greg, the Canadian economy, and many Canadians are slipping into poverty now. That's exactly what Trudeau and his government was doing to the Canadians is exactly what Biden, Obama to a lesser degree, but Biden full out was trying to destroy, especially the middle class in America, and turn us into poverty. But it appears Trump, just in time, to turn this around. Now, here's what it says here about this article: European warmongers lack troops, air defenses, and ammunition, and are only equipped to fight for a few weeks. Lacking troops, air defense, and ammunition, the continent's frontline defenses are only equipped to repel any invasion from Russia for weeks at best without the U.S., according to the defense officials who asked not to be identified, discussing this sensitive information. Even if a complete American withdrawal is seen extremely remote, a reduced U.S. presence would also have a huge impact. Europeans depend upon U.S. communications, intelligence, logistics, not to mention raw firepower. The continent foolishly disarmed after the Cold War, while electing a generation of leaders constantly fanning the flames of a confrontation with Russia, escalating the situation nonstop. As the U.S. opts for peace, the globalists have responded with a show of solidarity to Ukraine's failed regime and a massive wave of cash to both Kiev's war effort and their own rapid rearmament. See, Greg, they've lost their minds. The UK plans will take away money from foreign aid to use in its military, while Germany will scrap constitutional borrowing restrictions to spend money like there's no tomorrow. And the article goes on and on and on. But let's see. All right, we're going to go over now, and I have, I mean, a tremendous amount of information about, I guess you call it social, what's going on. And Trump has initiated, if that's the right word, he's initiated what's called the Sedition Act of 1793, and it was done by George Washington. And what it was if the United States was at war and there were people here from the country we were at war with, or they were Americans supporting the war, they could be like scooped up and removed from the United States. So Trump called that for this terrorist group from Venezuela. Now, although we are not at war with Venezuela, the group is a terrorist group at war with the United States. And there is a certain provision of that Sedition Act. Here it is. Trump invokes Wartime Alien Enemies Act of 1798 to target violent illegal immigrants, street gangs. Hours after the president, Donald Trump, invoked a wartime law to target terrorist organizations, the Tredangua, TDA, Saturday, a federal judge ruled the law could not be used to deport Venezuelans and ordered a plane they were believed to be returned to the U.S. The Alien Enemies Act of 1798, which allows deportation of natives and citizens of an enemy nation without a hearing, has been invoked three times during the War of 1812, World War I, and World War II. All Venezuelan citizens, 14 years or older, who are members of the TDA or within the U.S. are not naturalized or lawful permanent residents of the U.S. may be apprehended, restrained, secured, and removed as alien enemies, according to the Trump proclamation. Hours before the proclamation was signed, a lawsuit filed by the American Civil Liberties Union, Democracy Forward, and ACLU of the District of Columbia, claiming it could be used to deport any Venezuelan in the country, regardless of whether they are members of TDA. At the hearing Saturday afternoon, Chief U.S. District Judge James Blosberg of the D.C. Circuit granted a temporary restraining order preventing the deportation of the five Venezuelans who had already been in federal custody for 2 weeks. So that gives you a pretty good background, that article. So what happened was Trump ignored the judge, the judge's order. The Secretary of State ignored it, and Homeland Security and all ignored it. And a whole plane load of these TDA terrorists, along with MS-13, I think there was up to 300 of them, were taken to El Salvador and back to Venezuela. And Trump said, you know, hey, look, this is overseas, yet you have no authority overseas. And they ignored this judge. So there is a brewing constitutional crisis. Now, the crisis is not on Trump's part. It's not on the executive branch part. He's the president of the United States. And one of his main callings, according to the Constitution, is to defend the United States. And we have Joe Biden literally bringing this terrorist group into America. Now, you got to... Yep. Yeah. Greg, why would he do this? Why?
I think because he's crazy. I mean, he's crazy. He's out of it.
Yeah.
And,
all right. All right.
And his kids are the same way, and their brothers are the same way. I mean, they're all crazy.
They're not crazy, Greg. They're criminal. It's a criminal enterprise.
Well, they are. Yeah, it's a criminal enterprise, but they're probably just waiting until they put the anvil down on them. That's what they deserve.
So
that was.
But why would they bring terrorists into the United States unless you were trying to destabilize the United States? This is treason, what he did.
Oh yeah.
And this isn't because I despise him as a politician and as a human being for what he's done. This is a fact. This group didn't sneak into the United States. They were literally brought in by him.
Yep.
So now, now Trump is trying to get them all out. So this judge, is trying to dictate what the, president of the United States can do. Who was a district judge? Now I did I did research today and I spent a substantial amount of time on this, and the judicial system headed up by the Supreme Court literally cannot tell the president what to do. So, for example, in the 1830s, something happened where the Supreme Court ordered President Andrew Jackson to do something. And Jackson, not him personally, but with the government, had something to do with the army. And Jackson told the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, if you want to enforce that, you do it yourself. I will not enforce it. The Supreme Court could do nothing. It could do nothing. Abraham Lincoln, during the Civil War, suspended habeas corpus, which, because he had the, during the Civil War, the North was under martial law. It's not really known, but he declared martial law because of the Civil War. And one thing he did under the martial law was to suspend habeas corpus. So what that means is you could be arrested for anything. In fact, that's what happened illegally with the January Sixers. It was a whole bunch of them, Greg, the January Sixers that stayed in jail for a couple of years with no charges against them. That's illegal.
That's Biden.
Yeah. So what happened was, the courts told Abraham Lincoln that you had to release these people. Now, basically, there were Southern sympathizers. They were like newspaper reporters that were stirring up rebellion against the North and things like that. And Lincoln said, no, I'm not going to release them. That's it. The Supreme Court can't enforce it. They have no power like that. So Trump, what he did, the courts, especially like a district court like that, has no authority to stop him other than a bluff. He is doing his job as the executor, the chief executor there of the executive branch, as the president of the United States. War has been declared against this terrorist group. War has been declared against the drug cartels. War has been declared against MS-13. We're at war with these groups. And this district judge is trying to interfere with the president of the United States defending the American people, Greg. I would go as far as to say what that judge did could border on treason. If not treason, he cannot, he has no authority to direct the president of the United States how to prosecute defending the American people against terrorists. He has no authority. So this is really, really now, folks, taken it to a new level, and I wanted to make sure I had time to share this with you. Because as I say, I have I spent quite a bit of time going through this because I wanted to make sure I knew what I was talking about. It's a bluff by these judges. It's a bluff. And they've picked the wrong topic. Because Brother Greg, the American people are not going to stand for the right. President of the United States defending them with these terrorist groups, against these terrorist groups, and some liberal judge with the ACLU is demanding that Trump bring these people back into America. Trump, they picked the wrong topic. If it was something, I don't know, a mother and child over immigration, all right, but not this, not Venezuelan TDA terrorists who are bloodthirsty killers. And they've already, in sensational cases, murdered Americans. And the president is getting them out of the country into prison in El Salvador and Venezuela. And this judge is going to order him. They've lost, Greg. They've lost.
Yeah, they're crazy. They're yeah. nuts.
Yeah, this is going to explode up into their face. And it's going to, I'm going to make a little bit of a prediction here because of Trump, who he is, and that Pam Bondi, who she is, and the FBI, and like the Director of Defense, Hegseth, who they are. They're all going to come against these judges, and he's going to have huge support behind him, which is true. He should have this support, and these judges have to be put back in their place, never to stick their head out again or charge them with crimes. That judge is trying to interfere with the President of the United States defending the American people. I think that's treason. He has no business. He has no authority under the Constitution to do that. None. Zero authority. He usurped it. So this is really, really, Greg, I think going to explode now, and it's going to put the judicial branch back in its place.
Yep.
In its place.
That's good. Yeah.
I really enjoyed doing the research because I said I knew Section 3 of the Constitution. I mean, I know of it, and it doesn't authorize it. No power for the judicial branch to intercede into the executive branch and tell the executive branch what to do. They have no authority to do it. They've stolen that authority. And now Trump, they're out in the open for what they've done, and Trump is not going to take it. The Justice Department under Attorney General Pam Bondi has already spoken out and wants an injunction put against the that judge, and there's some congressman calling to impeach the judge for what he's done. They're calling it treason. This is incredible, Brother Greg. And it's like every week this is happening. It's these incredible things that I only dream that this would happen one day, to get these liberal judges and put them in a cage where they can't come out and make noise and hurt America. And here it is. It's happening along with all these incredible other things that the president's doing and Congress is doing now. This is incredible. Yeah. Greg.
Yeah. That whole Venezuelan thing, those people are beyond reproach. I mean, these people are just like animals, what they're doing. You saw all those ones where they were breaking down the doors and
yes,
of the people. That was just, you know, and normal people don't do things like that. So,
well, yeah, this wasn't just like burglary. They were literally taking over an apartment complex in Aurora, California, literally taking it over. They had like I don't know if it was AK-47s or AR-15s, but they had, you know, military type weapons like AK.
Yeah.
And they were in the apartment building, knocking down doors, taking it over. This is,
yeah.
And the governor of Colorado denied it. He denied it. Now, I got pictures, Greg. Here is a picture of this TDA guy being brought into El Salvador. Let me get it so you can see it there. He's coming off the plane from the United States. And look at all the armed. And they're making him bow over. They won't let him stand up. Now, here is another one. I'll show you. Okay, they're coming down off the planes. Look at one of the guards has this terrorist's hair, and he's got his head bent way, way, way down. They won't let him look up. Here is one of the terrorists here walking down the hall in the prison. Notice that their heads are always down. They're handcuffed. Now, here they are. Again, their heads are down again, and they're all being shaved. They've got these big electric razors there, Greg, and they're shaving their heads as they're going in jail. And here they're all lined up in jail, dressed in white, heads down in front of them, and they're all crunched together. There must be about 20 of them. And the guards are hovering over him. That's life in the Venezuelan jail. That's where. So it's like a picnic here in America compared to these other countries. But that's where they're going, Brother Greg. They're going to this. Apparently, there's a specially constructed jail in Venezuela. No, not Venezuela. El Salvador. And Greg, it's huge. It's like a city. If I'm not mistaken, it's like 40,000. Greg, 40,000. And El Salvador government went out and they arrested every criminal they could and they put them in this jail. And the crime rate dropped like 90%. Seriously. The crime rate in El Salvador. So they keep them housed up in this prison. So the president of El Salvador contacted President Trump, and he said, look, we can take them. If you pay us so much a month, we'll house them in our jail here because we got space for them. So Trump said, that's a bargain. And he said, okay. So they're arresting these Venezuelan, and more than Venezuelan, they're arresting the El Salvador MS-13 here also. And they're shipping them to this prison. So Trump said for a very small amount a month, they've got them in prison down in El Salvador.
Wow. That is, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So the liberals, this is so cruel. This is cruel. You can't do this. Yes, we can. They're terrorists. What's cruel is your government, Biden's government, opening the floodgates and allowing them to come in to murder, to kill, to sell drugs, to rape, all sorts of crimes. You brought them in knowingly. You should be in that jail talking to these liberals here in America. We should arrest you for cooperating with this and send you to that prison in El Salvador and see what it's like. Activist judges and the overreach of judicial authority, a case for sedition and treason. The balance of power among the three branches of government is a cornerstone of the United States Constitution. However, activist judges have increasingly encroached upon the executive authority, undermining the separation of powers. When judges exceed their constitutional authority by obstructing or overturning executive actions without legitimate constitutional grounds, they not only overstep their role, but many also commit acts tantamount to treason and sedition. That's exactly what I'm saying, folks. Terrorists. And you're saying...
Well, you know who's... Another one is what they did to the NRA and what they did to Trump's. I mean, he had a golf course there, and that woman said right. she owned the golf course.
That's all now he's in control, and that all's being reversed slowly but surely. It's all being reversed. In the remaining time, folks, I want to get all this stuff out to you. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin launches largest deregulatory effort in U.S. history to save coal and bring down cost of living. Folks, it's incredible. This article is amazing. Biden has set up all of these regulations that cost us trillions of dollars. They're all being reversed. It's going to bring the cost of living down. It's going to promote so many more jobs. It's really exciting what's being done now to deregulate America from what the hard left was doing here. This is really interesting. It's called Global Media. U.S. Global Media, and in it is the Voice of America. The Voice of America is a complete propaganda organization. They were supporting, the Voice of America was supporting Hamas against Israel, and it was celebrating October 7th. So,
are you kidding?
No, Greg. No. I don't have time. I would read it to you. It's very interesting. But what has happened is that woman, Lake, she ran for governor of Arizona and lost.
Yeah.
Trump put her ahead of the U.S. Agency for Global Media. And under that is Voice of America. It's completely shut down now. Trump said that it's unredeemable. It's so full of the woke and anti-Americans. So the Voice of America has been shut down as of now. They told.
Good deal.
Yes. Hamas, when the outlet neglected to note in an article in January that residents of Gaza cheered the terrorist group when it brought out coffins holding the remains of Israeli hostages, including children. Let's get the facts straight. Hamas paraded the dead bodies of innocent Israelis, including two children, in front of a cheering crowd. American taxpayers should not be paying the salaries of Hamas apologists who spout terrorist propaganda. So they shut it down. Wow. Amen, President Trump. Thank you for that.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay. There's a case in the Supreme Court that the state in Massachusetts has ruled that the schools can hide the parents. They can hide the children's gender identity from parents. So the schools can work on turning your little boy into a girl, and the parents have no knowledge, and they can't say anything about it. So that's in the Supreme Court. The ambassador from South Africa to the United States said that Donald Trump is a racist. So Rubio threw him right out of the country. He's been thrown out. And I don't know if I've ever heard that before. Have you ever heard of an ambassador from another country being thrown right out?
No. It fits right in.
Yes, it does. UK government advised to force restrictions on meat and car ownership onto the public. So in Great Britain, they're trying to force the people that they can't eat meat. Oh, I want to give you something really exciting. 5,000 students seek Jesus at West Virginia University. Nearly 1,000 respond to altar call and baptize, life-changing salvation. We were blown away, quote, we were blown away how God moved tonight at WVU Coliseum. Before visiting each campus, we pray and ask God to do only what he can do. And we saw what happened. The room filled tonight with 5,000 students chasing after the Lord in Morgantown. The founder of the visionary between Unite Us, Tanya Pruitt, told CBN News. Over 1,000 students saved, set free, and flooding the altar to make a move towards something different through the world as to offer, she shared. Life-changing salvation, life-altering freedom, life-giving connections. Jesus is marking this generation. So I wanted everybody to be aware of that, because it's like every week now we're starting to see huge moves on the college campuses. And I want to show you a video here. And now this is a video.
I now recognize.
Of a hearing in the United States House of Representatives. And the head of this committee is a Republican. And to the when you look at the screen to your right, there appears to be a woman. That's not a woman, that's a man.
Yeah.
And so the Republican head of the committee refers to him as a him. Now watch what happens.
As the representative from Delaware, Mr. McBride.
Mr. McBride, he's called.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ranking Member Keating, also wonderful.
Mr. Chairman, could you repeat your introduction again, please?
Yes, we have set the standard on the floor of the House, and I'm simply.
What is that standard, Mr. Chairman? Would you repeat what you just said when you introduced a duly elected representative from the United States of America, please?
I will. The representative from Delaware, Mr. McBride.
Mr. Chairman, you are out of order. Mr. Chairman, have you no decency? I've come to know you a little bit, but this is not decent.
We will continue this hearing.
You will not continue it with me unless you introduce a duly elected representative the right way.
This hearing is adjourned.
There you go.
Yeah, that is something,
isn't it? They expect us to bend to their insanity. That is a man with a big wig on, appearing to be a woman, and the Democrats want us to go along with their delusion, so that, and he refused to do it. I mean, this is incredible. Right there, you could see it. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. But I thank that man, head of the committee, for not submitting to it and standing. That I will not call. I will not call someone who's living with gender dysphoria, who's a man that thinks he's a woman, because you put a wig on and lipstick doesn't make you a woman.
Oh, this is crazy.
Yeah, I know. I know. So we're out of time, Greg. Here's some other things that I'll share with you. Vatican says Ramadan is a school of inner transformation for Catholics. Wow. Tulsi Gabbard confirms Biden let known terrorists loose in the United States. 4,000 known terrorists Biden's administration loosed, and they've only been able to arrest 100 of them. There is much more, but we're out of time, Greg. So, Greg, a word of encouragement, please, for us.
Yes. Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And nobody can save you except for Jesus. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, they shall be saved. Admit that you're a sinner. See Romans 3:10. Be willing to turn from that sin and believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and was raised again on the third day. And through prayer, invite Jesus into your heart as your personal Savior. See Romans 10:13. Amen, John?
Amen. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God bless everybody. Remember, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God has done wonderful things in our time here, in our generation, folks. He has turned this whole thing upside down, round and about. Folks, this is like we're looking at a political and social miracle. What he's done, he's literally crushed and suppressing the wicked right before our very eyes. Now we need a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen, Brother Greg?
Amen. That's right. Amen.
If God could do what we've seen politically, God can do it spiritually with a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So God bless you. And remember, again, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
I am thinking of the rapture in that blessed home on high, when redeemed again, redeemed. How we'll sing that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed gathering in. Now when the redeemed again, redeemed, washed like snow and free from sin. Story with our voices loud and long, when the redeemed again redeemed. Then the angels have to listen, for they cannot sing this song, when the redeemed.